I pay my children $20 every time I use them as a sermon illustration. So in order to save a little money, I'm going to use somebody else's child. Roger Underwood is a pastor of First Baptist Church in Taylorsville, North Carolina, and he told me this story about his son. Caleb was 6 years old, and Roger noticed a group of people, and they were laughing in the middle of the sanctuary. He wasn't telling a joke, and he thought they might be having some problems. He was trying to preach his sermon. Occasionally, the receiver would pick up the service from the church next door. So he thought maybe they were connecting with the church next door, and that's why they were laughing. But no, it was his son. It was Caleb. He'd leaned his elbows on the pew in front of him in the middle of his dad's sermon, and under his breath, he was saying, "Boring." Boring. Does anybody know what he's talking about? So I suppose that question often occurs when somebody's like me is preaching. I feel like the guy in the New Yorker cartoon. He tells his colleague, "I understood each and every word you said, but not in the order they appeared." I should have learned my lesson long ago. Interestingly enough, people quite often will tell me that they get more from the children's sermon than they do from the adult sermon. And I find that fascinating. I always suspected that maybe their attention span was shortened due to watching too much television. But I also respect the fact that there is much to learn from the simplicity of the message. And I can tell you there have been times when I have received a lot from Melissa's sermon, the children's sermon. Now, let me also say this, that sermon is intentional. And it's not so much designed for you, although you might get a lot out of it. It's designed for the children. And there's a reason for that. We believe that the children are valuable and an important part of our worship experience. And so we do all that we can to make sure that that experience of worship is beneficial to them. That's why we do it. I appreciate the fact that you get a lot out of it as well. What I hope you discover today is this. Every sermon I preach is a children's sermon. Because you see, you are a child of God. You are, as Elder John writes to his congregation so long ago, God's children. See what the Father has given us? That we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. Is anything in the Bible more important to remember than that? You are loved dearly by God. So much so that He calls you His child. Can there be any love greater than that? The love of a parent for their children? I know of none. It's the greatest love of all. And the love that God has given to us is God's perfect love. Now, I know I don't always feel like God's child, but that's why we have to be reminded every day. God has chosen every one of us. Anne Lamott is one of my favorite writers. If you haven't read any of her books, I encourage you to read her. She has a very fascinating story. She was attending church one Sunday, and it was Adopt a Special Kid Sunday. And they were talking about taking care of another child and bringing a child into your home. They had to fill out these questionnaires, and it was stuff like, could you adopt an addicted baby, a child with terminal illness, one with moderate retardation, with tendencies toward violence with others? And as she shared this, one of the women began to cry. Anne Lamont's pastor, Pastor Veronica, stepped to her side. She said, God's an adoptive parent too. God chose us all. God says, sure, I'll take the kids who are addicted or terminal. I pick all the retarded kids. And of course, I'll take the selfish ones and the liars too. I'll take them all. Doesn't matter who you are. I may be black, I might be white, I may be free, I might be uptight, but I'm still God's child. I may be up, I may be down. I may wear a smile, I might wear a frown, but I'm still God's child. I may be rich, I might be poor. I may be exciting, I might be a bore, but I am still God's child. I may be thin, I may be stout. I may be in, I might be out. But I am still God's child. Mistreated, unseated, never defeated, because I am God's child. Thanks to T. Carrot Benjamin for that poem. What does it mean to be a child of God? Well, it means that you can never wander beyond God's love. It means you have this great inheritance, for God owns every wild animal of the forest, the cattle on a thousand hills, all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field. It means you are already accepted, beloved, cared for, watched. It means you have a great name to live up to. And you belong to an important family. Fred Craddock tells the story of one day traveling through Mississippi, and he said he stopped at a little diner to eat. And as he was sitting there with his family, a man dressed in some very ragged clothes approached him and said, "Aren't you Fred Craddock?" And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "I hated it when people knew me." He said, "I'm Ben Chatfield." "Oh." He said, "My daddy once told me a story about a man with your name." I believe he served 3 terms as the governor of Mississippi. He said, "That'd be me." "But since you're a preacher, I want to tell you a story that has made all the difference in my life. You see," he said, "I grew up in a little town and I didn't know who my daddy was. My mama took care of me. And it always embarrassed me because people would ask me, "Who's your daddy?" I didn't know. I decided one day that I would visit the church, and I went to the Baptist church, and I sat in the back pew because I didn't want anybody to recognize me. And I would sneak out as quick as I could before the sermon was ended so that no one would speak to me. But one day, the pastor of the First Baptist Church caught me. And he grabbed a hold of the back of my shirt. And with all those people around, he said, "Whose boy are you?" I turned white. And then he said, "Wait a minute. I see the resemblance." "Son," he said, "why, you're a child of God, aren't you?" And that pastor, from that point on, took me under his wing and brought me up to know my Lord and Savior, he said. He took me as his own. And I never forgot that day. And it's made all the difference in my life. And since you're a preacher, I thought I'd share that with you. Good day. Fred Craddock said, "I am so glad he recognized me so that I could hear his story." Beloved, you are God's child. And we can be all that God has called us to be. What will you be when you grow up? Will it be a governor? That's what we do with our children, don't we? I know I did with mine. I wonder what they're going to be when they grow up. Wonder what they're going to do. Wonder what great things they're going to accomplish. I believe God does that with us too. I wonder what great things they're going to do for the glory of God's kingdom. I wonder who and what they're going to become fully. Children are bundles of possibility, and we worry what they might become, but we don't worry that they're not there yet. You know, it's okay if a four-year-old can't hit a major league fastball. It's okay. There's still time. It's all right if your eight-year-old can't hold down a job. It's okay. And it doesn't bother you if your 10-year-old doesn't know the periodic table of elements. It's all right. When your little one makes a mistake, or they lose control of their emotions, can't quite get the trick of tying their shoes, you're patient, aren't you? Patient as long as they're still learning and they're still growing and not repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. And you know they're incomplete. They're not finished growing, not yet. And that's why they need parents to discipline them in the course that leads to maturity, and over the years to teach them to make good choices until they can make those good choices on their own. And if a child keeps repeating the same mistakes again and again and again, if a child stops growing and can't learn and isn't capable of changing, well, that's when something's wrong, right? It's a tragedy. And it's time to call somebody to get some help. How does God look at us? Well, God looks at us and sees us as children, beloved, special, cute. God sees a bundle of possibilities. God dreams of what we might become. We aren't fully mature, but give us time. God thinks we'll get there. Some of us have further to go than others. So what do you want to be when you grow up? And for others, oh, grow up. Right? And I think that's what God says to us. My new member orientation, I give a spiritual checkup. It's just a few questions that I ask about your spiritual life. And this is part of the reason why people don't want to come to my Sunday school class, because I ask some difficult questions. It's about the spiritual life. And we go through all kinds of checkups, don't we? We like to make sure that we are physically okay. How many of you go to a doctor and get a checkup? Anybody go to a doctor and get a checkup? This means yes, this means no. You do, yeah. Boring. I can hear it now. Somebody's out there. Well, I like to do spiritual checkups. Have you ever had a spiritual checkup? Just a few questions, if you don't mind me asking. Is your spiritual life as important as your physical life? Maybe more important in some ways? And doesn't it all fit together? Don't you think? I believe it does. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your... Yeah. So you all know that verse. And the reason Jesus tells that verse is because in the Jewish context, you are a one whole person made up of all of these different things. In the Greek context, which we have a Greek culture, you divide all of those things. And so in the Greek culture, you could pretty much do whatever you wanted to do with the body, and it didn't have an impact on the soul. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like the American culture. Right? Jesus says, that's not true. It doesn't work that way. You are one person made up of all these different parts, the emotional self and the intellectual self and the physical self and the spiritual self, but you are one person and all of those elements come together. And when you love the Lord, you love them with all parts of who you are. Right? Because you're one person and every part is going to have an impact on the others. You can't divide it out like that. In some ways, I think we believe that we can. Jesus says, no. And so when you talk about growing up or nurturing the self, it means nurturing the body and taking care of the body that you've been given. It means nurturing the soul and taking care of that soul, that spiritual part of who you are, developing it and letting it grow up into all that it needs to become. So how's your prayer life? Are you involved in any kind of spiritual exercise to nurture that part of who you are? Are you growing up into the person that you need to become? And if not, when are you going to get started? As a child of God, God wants for you to be fully and completely all that you can become. You know, kids can't see the connection between what their parents want them to do and what they feel like doing. They don't realize how important diet and rest and homework are to health and growth and future. And sometimes it's a wrestling match. I don't know about you, but it is for mine. If my child gets to choose what she eats, like all the time, she's 10. What do you think? She kind of likes ice cream. How about it? It's like the Bill Cosby thing when he gave his children cake for breakfast. What's the quote, Rick? Who? Oh, yeah, Dad is great, gave his chocolate cake. Yeah. Because Bill Cosby said, well, it's got milk in it, and it's got eggs in it, and it's got flour in it. I'll be good for you. Oh, yeah. That's what Kylie would eat. Cake and ice cream every day, all the time. That sounds good to me. I wonder if God doesn't experience us the same way. Beloved but resistant children. And God has to coax and cajole and urge us on towards healthy spiritual growth to feed us on the right nourishment and get the right exercise and take our Sabbath rest and spend enough time in reverent reflection and prayerful waiting and avoid the things that damage the spirit. Spiritual growth is not like growth of mind and body and emotion. It comes in a different way. It's a gift than... It's not really a labor. And it requires receptivity and response. It's not a grasping aggressiveness. It's not about taking control. We can exercise our spirits, but in order to fully understand, we have to relinquish control. We have to surrender control. We have to see that we aren't in control and never have been. And if you think you're in control, drive down I-81. You'll change your mind. You're not in control. And what it mainly requires is humility. You're not fully formed yet as a child of God. What God really doesn't need, Dodie Donnelly says, is our perfection so that healing can happen. Our chipped edged, our need to change is the riverbed dry and empty, our yearning capacity for the Holy Spirit to sweep in with power and healing as we turn to others in compassion. And then we can share, not because we're strong or good or perfect, but because in our own weakness, we've depended on God's strength and we can help others to do the same. You got it? And being a mature Christian doesn't mean you have all the answers, folks. I can't tell you the number of times that I've sat with people in my office, and in the midst of a trial or tragedy, have said, I don't know. I don't have that answer yet. And I can't fix it for you. But there's one thing I know, and it's enough. You're a child of God. And God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. There's a lot children don't know. There's a lot we don't know. But that does not negate the fact that God is your loving parent. Don't you ever forget that. Let's pray. O glorious Father in heaven, we look to you and find in you the love that is greater than a mother and a father. For you have taken us as your own, and you will not and will never, ever reject us. It will always be present with us. And when we have trials or challenges, we know, Lord, that we can and should come to you. You don't always fix it for us, God. But you're always there. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to be called into your presence. Help us to know fully of your love of us. And help us to grow up into the people that you have longed for us to become. And so we pray in the name of our Heavenly Father. Amen.